Welcome to the Next Level Soul Podcast, where we ask the big questions about life. Why are we here? Is this all there is? What is my soul's mission? We attempt to answer those questions and more by bringing you raw and inspiring conversations with some of the most fascinating and thought-provoking guests on the planet today. I am your host, Alex Ferrari. I'm always looking to help the Next Level Soul audience take their soul to the next level. And I've been able to partner with Mind Valley to present you guys with a ton of free masterclasses between 60 and 90 minutes covering mind, body, soul, relationships, and conscious entrepreneurship. Some of these masterclasses are taught by spiritual masters, relationship experts, best-selling authors, legends in the personal growth and spirituality space, and so much more. So if you want to sign up for any of our free mind, body, and soul masterclasses, just head over to nextlevelsoul.com/free. Now, you know I've had many channels and mediums on the show before, but today we are in for a very special treat. We have on the show Belinda Womack, and she channels the 12 archangels. And our conversation was transformative, to say the least. In this conversation, Belinda was able to channel the archangels and answer questions right on the show. So I want you to prepare yourself to be moved. So let's dive in. I'd like to welcome to the show Belinda Womack. How are you doing, Belinda?
I'm great, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really fascinated by your story. I loved your book, The Lessons from the 12 Archangels. And my first question to you is, how did you begin this spiritual journey of yours?
Well, it depends on how far you want me to go back. But the story that is the popular one is that I was working in a pediatric oncology lab, and I had a visit from Archangel Gabriel while working on a stem cell sample.
Okay.
And being a biologist and having a visit from a big angel was a bit of a shock to my system. But just really quick, I've told this story many times, and it is over 30 years ago now. It felt like I was taken out of the lab, and I was in a stone room that was round. The floor was made out of dirt. I thought, this isn't going to work for sterile technique. Where am I? I was very, very disoriented. And then this great big angel that I recognized as Gabriel, I didn't know anything about angels, but the angel had a trumpet. So that was like, okay, that must be Gabriel. And the angel spoke to me telepathically and said, Belinda, you're being called. Your work is going to change. I said, I think you've called the wrong person.
It's the wrong number.
Yeah, you got the wrong number. I'm a biologist. I'm not supposed to believe in angels, but I do. And Gabriel said, again, telepathically, but it was like a boom in your head. Well, you can resist us. But you know, you have a calling to help humanity. God's children, meaning all of us, have forgotten that they are divine and they need help. So we're calling you. I said, well, what do I have to be able to do for this? And Gabriel said, well, look to, that was my left. And that's what we need you to learn. And it was this humongous book, Alex. It was like, I don't know, 3 feet. It was open, but it was huge, about a foot deep. But the book was open. And in the middle of the book, it said the word love in red fire letters. And I said, okay, love. I can learn how to do this. I can learn what this is about. And I don't remember much of the rest of the conversation, other than that Gabriel said to me, we will be back. And that was a we. And so I didn't know what that meant at that time either. But I was back in the lab, and I thought that I'd been gone for a whole day. And I looked at my watch, and not even a minute had gone by. So it was a definite, now I understand more of what happened. It was a knock out of the left brain over into the right brain, hello, great universe, here I am kind of experience. But that's officially how it began.
So when I was reading your bio, it also mentioned that you kind of felt this when you were a child, when you were younger, that you would be able to talk to angels and to people on the other side. Is that true? And how did, and then you rejected it. You said, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And you shut that off. So why did you, first of all, is that true? And secondly, why did you turn your back on it?
Well, it's very true. I was a very psychic child. That's probably how I survived my childhood. And I could definitely see, spirits on the other side and talk to my grandmother who had passed. And I would take walks in the woods with Jesus and Buddha. And that's how I learned that they were best friends. So yes, and angels were around. I didn't really understand it. What I can tell you as a child is I knew things about people that they usually did not want me to know. And that was very uncomfortable. And I would get right, and I would get in trouble for it because I would just say, this is the way it is. And so when I was 11, 12, that's when I decided I was going to be a scientist and that I was going to shut all this down and not have anything to do with it. And so that's pretty much, I tried to do that. My sensitivity for people and compassion for people definitely never left me. But
that's so you just, yeah, I have to ask you. So when you got this encounter with Gabriel, and then the angels started to come back and you started to have communications, when you decided to go public with this and finally break free of your science, I mean, you have two master's degrees. I mean, you're very accomplished, you're not someone just walking on the street talking to themselves. I mean, you are a very accomplished, you're a very accomplished scientist. I have to believe that your colleagues probably looked at you strange. How did you deal with coming out with this information, this message to the world? And how did you deal with it on a psychological basis?
So that was quite an amazing part of my transformation, because when you are called by the 12 archangels, you have to do a lot of inner work. And what they taught me from the very beginning is to fill up with energy, but energy with certain intention, right? So they taught me to fill up with unconditional acceptance of myself, my true self, and what I was here to do. And it took me a while to understand that, but wow, that's miraculous, because that's when I first started to learn about the law, as above, so below, as within, so without. And so when we bring that love in whatever way we need it to manifest for us, I needed acceptance. I needed to be accepted by others and to accept my new, crazy self. So, but as I was filling up with that acceptance, people started to accept me, even the scientists that I work with. Now, I was blessed to work in pediatric oncology, where lots of miracles are experienced and lots of, great deal of surrender. Because when a child has cancer, what does that mean? And how long do you keep that child on the earth? And all these deeper questions. So when I shared it with the people that I worked with, the main response was, okay, Belinda, can you talk to the angels so that, I can get out of here on time? It was like, they asked me, will you talk to the angels and ask this for me? And, my response was, hey, you can ask them. They're everywhere. They want to help everybody. Well, it seems to work if you ask them. And I remember, Alex, one particular fellow So that's an MD who's gone on to get a PhD, right? Said to me, she was amazing. She said, you know, you're the one that has to accept this, because the rest of us can clearly see something has happened to you and that you're different. And so you need to accept this.
Wow.
So, and that has worked my whole life. And I teach that. I teach that to others, because so many people, as you know, are being called to leave their day jobs and leap into the unknown, right? Whether they're going to be an indie filmmaker as like yourself, or whether they're going to be a shaman or a spiritual teacher or a healer. It begins with you have to accept who you truly are. And if you accept it, you will be welcomed.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
That's pretty remarkable. Yeah, I always wonder that. Anytime I have someone who comes on who goes through a transformation, I go, how did you deal with the people around you who didn't get transferred, didn't go through a transformation yet? And they're seeing their old friend Belinda just, she's gone now. Now there's this new Belinda. She was very lovely, but there's a lot of things that happen during that process. So I'm always fascinated to see how that works. You've discussed in the past, by the way, I have to ask you, how do you connect with the angels? Do you just speak to them? Do they come to you in visions? Does it all happen in the mind? How does that work?
Well, so it began with a dream about my inner child, who I refer to as my divine child. And so I connect first with little Belinda through my heart. And through that heart space, that's where any of us can connect with the 12 archangels, our guardian angels, the fairies, the devas, the ascended masters, icons in heaven that want to help. So that's how I do it. I have to connect heart, and then that opens up to the heavenly realms, and that's where the angels are. So we... when I say we, that's the 12 archangels. You know, we've been, I would say, you know, pretty best intimate friends now for a long time. So my connection is constant, trustworthy, consistent, and I'm so grateful.
Has it helped you personally through your life's journey?
Absolutely. The angels, when they call you, you know, you have to practice what they teach. You have to live it and walk it. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, their main teaching, which is, you know, pretty commonplace. We understand this about Schoolroom Earth. It's a school where we get to experience fear. We get to have an ego, and that ego gets to jump into fear and go as deep and as far as it wants to go. But when we choose love, just that choice in our minds. So you'd ask me, do I experience them in my mind? I experience them in all ways, by the way. I feel them. I see them. I sense them. They're just everywhere. But when we make that choice for love, our vibration starts to go up, right? We start to shift. Our ego starts to slide into home base and line up with our soul, and it's easier to be in that heart space of centeredness. And then life gets better. Those angels are right. They promised me 30 years ago, do you want to have a happy childhood? Because you didn't have one. I was like, that sounds pretty good. And Alex, it just gets, life really gets better and happier all the time. So no complaints from me. It works. Love works, people. If you like fear, this is what the angels, they just reminded me of this morning. Look, Belinda, human beings get to do whatever they want. If they want drama, they can have it. If they want fear and to be, you know, complain about the world and politics and go into those movies, they call it all movies, then that's what they get to do. If they want to live in heaven on earth, they can do that. But it's not your job to tell them, hey, you can be a lot happier in heaven on earth. I mean, that is part of my job to do that, but I have to accept if that's not what they want.
So you mentioned something interesting in that last answer about kind of creating your own reality. Do you have any kind of, for lack of a better word, tips or advice on how we can create our own reality? Because I am very much in agreement with that concept of creating your own reality. And I always use the example of the Great Depression. There was people who were making fortunes during the Great Depression and people who were jumping out of buildings. And it's all relative. Even in the worst times, even during the Holocaust, it was Schindler and he was saving people. So there was even a bright light there and there was many. So it depends on the reality that you want to create. So what advice do you have for people?
So there's two things to understand about creating our own reality. And one is, again, we have an ego, and that ego is very susceptible to fear. It's in our left or masculine brain. It's the part of the brain or the mind that can be pulled down into fear or lower frequencies, whatever language you prefer. And then there's the soul. And the soul is truly that divine part of us that is holding ego in place. It's like the ultimate set of parents that says it's really, you know, it's your choice. And here on Schoolroom Earth, we are creating our reality all the time, but we're doing that. The soul is doing that, and the ego is doing that. And the ego has a lot of help in the reality we create through our subconscious. And that subconscious has all of that baggage in it, whether it's the our ancestors and what they experienced or what we experienced in past lives or our own childhood and the story from this life. And the angels describe it all as stories. And they say when a story comes up, whether it's a memory or a thought or a feeling that says, this doesn't feel heavenly, this doesn't make me feel happy, then they say, let it go. Because if you jump into it, you're in that movie. You're now in that reality. Because even if it's a memory, you know how that works, Alex. All of a sudden, you're like back in that past scene.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So if you find yourself emotionally, mentally, even physically, you know, walking down a dark alley, and that's not where you want to be, then the first thing you do is you call on the power of love. Love is the energy that created us. It's real stuff. It's not woo-woo make-believe. It is real power. And just to call on it shifts that frequency of our whole being, and our reality will change for the better in a moment.
Now, being a scientist, or former scientist, as you will, I love the concept of love because it is something that's not quantifiable. You can't measure it, but you know it's there. And everybody on the planet, hopefully, has access to love or has felt love at one point or another in their life. It's so interesting to see if we can't quantify love, there's probably a few other things we can't quantify as well. Would you agree?
Yes.
Now, I always love doing this analogy because you were talking about stories and scenes, things like that. You're speaking my language, filmmaking language. And I like telling people the analogy of that we are actors on a stage, which is something that Shakespeare said. But I take it into the movie sense where you and I are playing the parts of Belinda and Alex. It's kind of like Tom Hanks playing the part of Forrest Gump. And for the day, he goes in, he plays the scene, the director comes in, tells him, no, do this, do that. And at the end of the day, he takes off his Forrest Gump outfit and goes back home. And the insanity is that we are the actors playing a part. Our actors are the souls. We're playing a part. And this is a really long scene here on Earth, a really long movie that we're playing out. But the insanity is that we all go through is that we believe we're the character. And we forget that we're the actor. I'd love to hear what the what the angels think and what you think about that, as far as an analogy is concerned.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Well, what the angels say to you is they say that's brilliant and they couldn't agree with you more. And they even teach that when it's time to die, they say, oh, death is so easy. You're walking off the set. You're walking off the movie set. And all of a sudden you go, oh, I get it. I know who I am in the bigger sense, mm-hmm. in the bigger sense. So, but even as being the character and over-identifying with the character, that helps us to learn. And that's why we do that on School Room Earth. Mm-hmm. And the angels are all about reminding us, yes, you are learning here, but you get to change the scene. You get to change the personality of the character. The character gets to evolve in consciousness. And so bring in more love. Just work with that power. Because fear is super seductive. You can see that in movies, right? Like, fear sells. Because it's exciting and gets those adrenals revved up, right? Not everybody wants to hear about love and that it's calming and peaceful and delightful.
Love doesn't sell ads. That's true. Fear. I mean, just turn on the news. Fear is what sells. I mean, that's what gets you all revved up and taps into that kind of lower frequency, as we say. But love, you know, it's really interesting with fear. And you've spoken about the ego a few times. Is there a way to align the ego for our own good in this life? Because the ego does have a place. And it's not all bad. It does really good things for us if we allow it. But it's kind of like a wild stallion. If you let it go, it will go. So you got to kind of corral it and kind of focus it. Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah, the angels love that. So what they recommend to help ego, it's all about vibration. And this is just language to help people to understand that when the ego is your friend and the ego is being supported by soul, and so it feels secure, right? Then it becomes personality. Then we get to really express that incredible wisdom of soul and creative genius of soul. So they say it's very simple. And sometimes ego likes things to be complicated. This is from the angels.
Yes.
But it's actually very simple, and it works immediately. And it's where you language lives in the masculine brain, or where the ego lives. And so you just say the words, I surrender. I surrender my ego to the will, the highest will, the highest happiness, the highest care, which just means vibration, of my soul. I invite my soul to take care of my ego. And it's downright miraculous. And so, yeah, I'm a retired scientist, but I love that proof. And it works. And it's very simple. But you do need to do it constantly, because the ego, like you shared, is a bit or a lot like that wild stallion, and we don't really want to tame it, but we want it to feel safe and secure so that it can fully experience the beauty and the wonder of School Room Earth.
Yeah, the ego, the thing I always love, not love about ego, but the one thing that's always consistent about ego is the moment you feel that you have conquered it, it is the when it pops its head up. And that's your own ego being egotistic about the ego. It's just fascinating to me. But so many times I always tell people that The ego is like an MMA fighter just sitting on your shoulder, waiting quietly. And it's just waiting there and waiting there. And the moment you let your guard down and you think, I've got this, that's when the punch comes in and knocks you out, because it can go awry. But I think I've kind of started to come to grips with understanding that the ego is not all bad. It is a force that without ego, a lot of the spiritual masters, a lot of the ascended masters who were down here, the Yoganandas, the Jesuses, the Buddhas, they needed ego to want to change the world, to spread the message. That's ego trying to get that message out there. It's not just someone like, you know, I found enlightenment, I'm just going to sit in this cave for the next 30 years. They went out and they wanted to change things. That's a positive force of ego.
Well, and that's what the angels would say, that those are personalities that tapped into divine oneness. They tapped into that greater power of heart. And so they were driven, like right. Alex is driven and Belinda is driven. We came here, our souls came here and created our egos and our personality, right? To make a positive difference, to try to bring out messages of hope and truth where they were missing, to bring love where love is missing. And that's a very, very powerful motivator. So they encourage, the angels encourage all egos to love their egos, right? Ego is synonymous with your humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you understand that your ego, if you can just imagine that your brain is the size of a watermelon and your ego is a green garden pea, it's that small, stuck in the watermelon. And so when that green garden pea can have the awareness, oh my gosh, I've got this whole watermelon. That really, if we expand that, is the entire divine oneness. Then the ego doesn't have to be so defended, so self-protective, and so self-absorbed, because that's actually what makes it feel lonely and miserable, because it goes into this place, there's not enough for me. Right. And it goes into this place, I have to fight for what I have.
There's not enough.
Right. There's not enough, which is, you know, fear. It's fear. It's everywhere. But the more we take that ego into the feminine brain, which just means the creative brain, the big watermelon around the green pea, where the intuition flows and where we have access to spirit and to creator, then wow, is there abundance there and just so much help and security and the trust that we're never going to run out. We're not going to run out. So we don't need to fight about it.
Right. There's abundance in the world. There's not like the money is not going to run out. The money is endless, you know, energy, that kind of energy, food eventually, you know, like, and I always use the, I've been using a lot of analogies in this conversation, but an apple tree, there's more than, you know, one seed brought you hundreds of apples, and that's just the one tree. Life is about abundance. It's about giving more than we even need sometimes to have access to things. So if you go into life with that mentality, things become easier, I feel. And
definitely. And if you let angels help you, you know, they are forces of love, and they do incarnate as human beings sometimes. I'm often asked that question. They prefer, well, like, wouldn't we prefer to stay in the realm of heaven, because they can be of greater service from that vibration without having to take on fear, but they certainly understand it. And they help us by, they just direct that ego and redirect that ego home to soul. And they help us to even remember. This is one of their favorite things, angels, mm-hmm. is to help ego to ask, you know, ask, Have you asked the universe for what you need? Have you asked whatever your word for God is? Have you asked your own soul for help? Creator, divine oneness, source, ask for help. Because asking for help actually shifts the vibration of ego to a place where it's plugged back into that bigger brain that right. says, oh yeah, here it comes. Because when you put out a prayer or an intention.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Spirit hears you and it's on its way. Ego can distract you. It's like the angels. Here's another analogy. It's like, okay, you've ordered a package from Amazon and your ego keeps having you move to different houses and different states and different locations. So where is God going to deliver the package? So if you are grounded in the moment and breathing and just saying, okay, thank you. Don't let me get in the way of receiving my package. That really helps. And angels help us to do that, Alex.
Belinda, I think we've tapped into something here. I think you and I should come up with an app that allows us to connect to God and be able to track packages coming to us. I think we'll make millions. Now, you've talked a lot about fear. Is there any advice you can give us to help overcome fear in our lives? Not the good fear, like there's a tiger in the room going to kill us, but the other kind of fear of, because that's good fear. The other kind of fear of what we deal with on a daily basis, the kind of made up fear of living in the past or living in the future and not living in the now.
What the angels teach is to use the energy of your crown chakra. You have batteries of spiritual energy that you have access to. They only grow in size as you use the energy. It's like working out with a muscle, right? The muscle gets stronger the more you use it. The chakras belong to your soul. So the more your ego says, I need some of that beautiful violet purple energy because I'm in a place of fear, then the stronger that energy is going to, the more you're going to experience that energy in your daily life. So it's very simple, whether you visualize it or you just hold the intention, you put your head under a violet fire rain shower or violet energy, pick your words. That's going to clear the fear out of your mind immediately and help you to ground. The crown chakra is made out of the root chakra. Well, that was a shark whistle. My apology for that. But that root chakra grounds us to the here and now. It's the divine mother or divine feminine energy that grounds us to the earth. And the other part of the violet fire of the crown is the will chakra, the throat chakra, about communicating, finding the truth, living in the truth. The truth is there is no fear. It's illusion. We get to experience here. It's like the scary part of the movie. So the more we buy into the fear, the more real it's going to feel, that experience. So when you just put yourself in violet fire, I like to be in a violet fire river and let the current flow through. It's made out of energy, or swim in a violet fire ocean, or stand under a violet fire waterfall. But you can't have fear in your ego brain. You can't have fear and be focused on the energy of the crown chakra in the same moment, because it's love. And love transforms fear. It's what it does. It finds fear and it changes us back into love. And the violet of the crown is also forgiveness. You know, the angels teach us, if you really want to stay out of fear, even though you're subconscious, that's what's happening to the whole human collective, is the fear in the subconscious is purging. What they call the old male, part of that fear, the patriarchal old male of control and judgment and not enough and unworthiness, all that good stuff. It's purging. So if you want to help your own subconscious to purge but not get pulled into the quicksand, just take a few moments, be in that violet fire, surrender your ego to the will of your soul, and forgive even that which you don't even remember. Just walk around and say, I like to go back and forth. I surrender, I forgive it all. And those energies, those frequencies of love are miraculous, which means, you know, we have instant vibrational shifts. So we go from a dark movie to a happy movie very, very quickly.
Now, there are so many beliefs that we have, belief systems, ideas about ourselves that are limiting. Do you have any advice for people on how we can change these limiting beliefs that are not serving us anymore?
The easiest way to change limiting beliefs is, first of all, to identify them. Mm-hmm. Because once you identify the limiting belief, the good news, Alex, is that says you're ready to let go of it. So when you find it, an easy and fun thing to do is just imagine it's a book, and you take the book and you toss it in the violet fire river, and you send it back to the central sun. The central sun just means the heart of divine oneness, the heart of the creator. It's where all souls originate from, certainly the 12 archangels. And that violet fire of our crown, that's why we have it. It just takes that belief and it turns it to dust. And if that doesn't feel powerful enough, right? Like, well, that was too easy. Another fun thing to do is call on whom I refer to as Big Blue, but Archangel Michael of the Central Sun. And Archangel Michael's energy is the same as the will chakra. So we're bringing in highest truth. And you just call on Archangel Michael and you play a little Star Wars and you have this sapphire blue lightsaber and you poke it in the belief. And the belief blows up, and it just does. The truth is, if it sticks in the belief, then there's a past life that you have to forgive. But most of the time, it just turns to dust and that belief is gone. Now, we are human beings and we often have multiple copies of the same book with different, you know, that we tweak the title, we tweak the chapter, we put the end in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we have to call on that Archangel Michael's sword more than once to clear right. a belief that is deep and old, and maybe our ancestors had it. If our ancestors experience lack and not enough resources and hardship, it's amazing how we can go, wow, you know, everything is good, but I'm still afraid of not having enough. And that's because that belief, that book is stuck all the way down there in the DNA. But violet fire and Archangel Michael's sword will reach it. Love reaches everything. Doesn't right. matter how buried it is, it will find it out and transform it.
Now, can you explain to the audience what the divine experiment is?
The divine experiment. Well, that's why we're here. So schoolroom Earth and the 12 archangels are not the only ones that refer to Earth as schoolroom Earth, was designed and developed so that souls could travel to an experiment, an experience where they could experience the opposite in vibration to love, and to see, well, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What happens if I journey into illusion? Because all I know is truth and love. And so Schoolroom Earth was created with a great deal of protection, by the way, and incredible genius. And the faculty of this school is stellar. So this divine experiment was that we could experience, souls could experience the opposite in vibration of love, which is fear. And so that expresses as opposites, day and night.
Duality.
What we think of as male and female, which the angels say it's not opposite at all. It's all just a mix. But in every male, there is a very powerful female that he needs to find. And in every female, there's a powerful male that she needs to find.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
But those opposites, right? Rich, poor, happy, sad. We can experience all of those depths of emotions and thoughts. And we get to experience in this experiment the duality, really, of past and future. And the angels say, what matters is the moment, being in the present, because then you can change it. But the good news is, this is, you know, old news now, but the experiment has been successful, and the school would love to transform back into its heavenly garden so that it's no longer a place to learn about suffering and violence and dark ETs and
Got you. All the boogeymen of the universe, if,
right, exactly.
if you will, all the fear and things that we can kind of conjure up in our own minds. Now, where, in your opinion, and in the angels' opinion, what are the keys to freedom in this life?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bring them in because they do a better job, and they just want you to know that they're not going to quote lessons from the 12 archangels. It is in the book, but they want to bring it in just how they want to bring it in. So
sure.
Beautiful human beings, the keys to freedom and the keys to success, it is simple. It is to return your mind whenever it wanders, because it loves to wander. Bring it back to love. And if you are thinking thoughts of fear that are negative, that go to the poor me, I feel victimized, I feel cheated, or I want to be in control of my future, how do I know that I'm going to be safe? That you truly surrender to the care of your soul. And you say, higher self, if you are real, and if it's true that I have not been abandoned here, then lift me up so that I know and so that I trust that freedom is my birthright. Happiness is my birthright. Success is my birthright. Lift me up, soul. And so, human beings, we encourage you. It is a practice. It takes patience and gratitude and compassion for your humanity to make a choice in every given moment of every minute, of every hour, of every day. What do I want to experience? Do I want to experience freedom, success, happiness, wealth, good health? Or do I want to experience less than this? And even writing the question down begins to help the transformation take place. Our keys to freedom and to success ask that you do this. Beautiful one, beautiful being, so, so powerful. What do you want to experience? Because your desire is everything. And what Alex has not said, but he has said, is you have an ego on Schoolroom Earth to tap into your desire, to find the desire of your heart. What is it that you want? We are the 12 archangels of the central soul, loving every magical atom of you.
That was beautiful. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. My next question is a little bit deeper, so I'd love to hear what you have to say about it, and as well as the angels, if they'd like to. Where does God's energy come from?
God's energy is all there is. God's energy is love. It is undiluted love. It is love that has no fear or illusion in it. It comes from the central sun, which again is symbolic. The central sun is the heart of Creator, or the heart of God, the beginning, the center, where we all come from, the source of love and the source of energy. Is there any part of that that your ego logical mind says, I don't get that?
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is.
So the angels have a response very quick.
Yes.
Alex and your wonderful audience, we encourage you to ask for proof in your everyday life. Work with God's energy of love. It is the greatest power in all of the universe. Make a choice. I'm going to work with the power of love today. I'm going to open my eyes and say, angels and my soul, show me what the power of love can do for me today. And experience it. Experience the proof that your ego so longs for. And then your ego will want more proof. So tomorrow you will ask, okay, love, show me what you can do for me today. We believe we have made our point.
I love that. They have a sense of humor, don't they?
Definitely. Always.
I wanted to ask you, is it taxing to you to connect with them? Because I know a lot of psychics and mediums, sometimes it wears on them. Is that where, does it wear on you at all physically?
It's the angels do not wear on me. To be perfectly honest with you, I have discovered that what can really drain my adrenals and my kidney chi is, and I love human beings and I love helping them, but it's when I get pulled down by their stories, because yeah. I'm a super sponge. I'm an empath. So I have recently learned, if I'm going to do a consultation, because I do love to help people, I need to do audio recordings. So I now ask for emails and ask for their story to be sent to me so that I can work with that story slowly. And then I do a recording where I can channel the angels and plug into the information. But I don't have to do face-to-face anymore, where I'm absorbing and I'm actually experiencing what they are processing. And that's what exhausts me. Now, to be perfectly honest, I could not channel like I am doing, really bringing in the 12 archangels so focused for hours and hours, because their frequency is so high. It's like being plugged into a super duper light socket. It feels great, but if I'm in that energy for too long, I do start to, you know, kind of have a
meltdown. The copper wire starts to burn up.
Yeah, there you go.
You gotta turn it off, let it rest a little bit, let it cool down before you can run. As you can tell, I love analogies.
Me too. It's a good match.
That's really fascinating, because I've spoken to many mediums, many psychics who can channel and channels as well, and it does wear on them. But that makes all the sense in the world, that you're connecting to such a high level of energy that at a certain point you just kind of like, you know, I gotta slow it down a little bit. So when you do consultations, you don't do face-to-face Zooms anymore, anything like that at all, which makes all the sense in the world, honestly, because I mean, and I've said this on the show a million times, you meet people and you start hearing their stories and they want to pull you into their drama.
Absolutely.
They want to pull you in because adding another character to the drama adds to the drama. So let's start pulling in. And then there's these toxic kind of energy vampires in many ways. And they might not even mean to do it. It's just part of the circumference, the orbit of these people. And it's very interesting that you still want to help, but at a certain point, you got to protect yourself.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Yes. And Alex, the ego, see, when it's, here's the thing, when the ego is not aware that it has this incredible loving parent called soul, right? It's got the perfect mother, father there, wants to help all the time, together with our team of helpers in heaven. When the ego doesn't know that, it gets pulled more and more into drama because that's the way the ego gets attention. And attention is a form of love. It is. You're smiling at me, but it's true.
I have children, so yes, I understand.
So when that human being needs attention and they feel like they're not getting enough or they've forgotten, right? They're over the age of 18 months. They start to look for that attention outside of self until they are reminded, you've got this inside of you, right? You can plug into love. Then it's like, okay, I'm not getting enough attention. Let me go break my arm. That's going to make me the center of attention, right? Let me create drama at any age. So what your audience can hear is there's a better source of attention. There truly is, because then you're not hungry. You're not needy. You're not draining on your loved ones. You are a love generator. And that's to go to source and say, fill me up. It's that simple.
That's a wonderful message. Absolutely wonderful, because God knows I know a lot of the other. I've met with them. As you can imagine, in Hollywood, there's a few egos that I've dealt with in my day, which is a whole other podcast, a whole other conversation.
Well, they are multiple egos in one ego, which makes it even more difficult. But
and then they're playing characters of other egos.
Yeah. Wow.
It's trust me, when you're on set and you're trying to work with an actor, there are certain actors that I've had a chance to work with, really high-end Oscar-nominated professional actors. And you could just go, oh, okay, they know how to slip in, slip out. They understand the technique. They understand the work. And they're no drama. I've noticed that the bigger the star, the bigger the actor, the more calm and less attention they want or need.
Oh, interesting.
At least from my experience. I know that's not for every case. But the bigger the star, the bigger the movie star, the bigger the actor, the nicer people seem to be. It's the ones, I was just talking to a director the other day. I'm like, how did you deal with all of those? It was a movie with a lot of male energy. It was very, very testosterone filmed action movie. Legendary one. Really a lot of, you know, Stallone and, you know, all these kind of guys. Like, how did you deal with, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, how do you deal with these guys? And he goes, oh, they were lovely. I didn't have a problem with any of the big stars. It was the little guys I had problems with.
Wow.
The ones that were trying to prove themselves or to get the attention from the other ones who truly didn't need it because they've been getting that attention the bulk of their lives. At a certain point, you're just like, you know, I'm good. I just want some quiet.
But you're making such an awesome point, Alex. The angels are very excited about this. Mm-hmm. They're saying to all human beings, you all have access to creative genius. Whether you want to be an actor, a director, a filmmaker, a podcast host, a spiritual healer, right? Whatever it is, be your true authentic self. Relax into that. What's going to help you do that? I surrender. I surrender to the will of my soul, to the help of my soul. Breathe, be here now. These simple things. And just having that intention is everything. Relax into your true authenticity. And then who you are supposed to be just happens organically. And doesn't that take the pressure off?
Oh my God. I mean, I say this to so many young artists coming up because they always ask, like, how do I make it? And I go, the only thing you have is who you are. There is a secret sauce that you have that no one else on the planet has. Mm-hmm. And when you tap into it, that's when you're able to move up and get things that you want and grow as an artist, grow as a person, because you're being authentic. And I'm in podcasting for over 7 years now. And a lot of people ask, like, how do you, why do you think you're successful in podcasting and interviewing? I go, because I am who I am. I'm not trying to be somebody else. I am who I am. I approach these conversations with true, honest, questioning. I want to know. I want to learn about your process. That's why I asked you, I'm like, what's your experience like talking to the angels? What was your experience like making the transition? These are experiences that I won't have, at least that I know of, in this life. Who knows, right? But I'm curious, and I'm truly curious, and I'm authentic, and I also am coming from a place of service.
Yes.
And there's so many other people that come and go in the podcasting space because they're like, I want to be a famous podcaster.
Right.
I'm like, I don't care about being a famous podcaster. I care about serving my audience. I care about curiosity. And that's what drives me, because this is not easy work. I'm assuming the work that you do is not easy either. Day in, day out, it's work.
It's work.
But if you love it and you're being authentic to who you are, that is the secret to many things. Being authentic is the secret to many things. And have you found that if you are more attracted to authentic people than fake people?
Yeah. I am loving this conversation with you. It's phenomenal because and when I get to be blessed by being with a real person, I can breathe because that's who I am. I'm like a little child. I cannot be anybody other than Belinda who talks to 12 archangels. I can't be fake even if I try. I can't tell a lie. So refreshing, and I thank you for that. I thank you for your authenticity. I really do.
I appreciate that. But I have to ask you this question then. Why are we so afraid of being authentic? Because so many of us are like, I really want to dance, but I can't show anybody that. Or I really want to be a writer, but I don't want to show anybody that. Or I want to be a spiritual healer, and Jesus, I'm scared. I was terrified of doing this podcast because I had been in the filmmaking side, and I was like, I don't know. I don't want to be known as the spiritual guy. I don't want to lose what I've got. I don't want to talk to psychics and mediums and channels and near-death experiencers and these kind of things. I was afraid. It took me about a year before I opened finally. I surrendered, by the way. I just said, okay, do with me as you will. I'm going to go all in. And that's when the doors swung open for me.
Absolutely. That's when the doors swing open. So what the angels teach is that human beings, especially our ego, only our ego is afraid to be authentic. And our authenticity changes. It's important for us to share that. You and I both know that. As we become even more and more devoted in our calling into that higher frequency that changes, we keep moving deeper into ourselves, then it becomes easier to be in that authenticity because we are in such a beautiful, loving vibration. We don't care anymore what people say and what people think. But the ego is conditioned by fear's old male to expect judgment. Mm-hmm. And judgment has a lot to do with world religions. And, you know, it's been around for a long time. But it actually comes from fear. So when we just being human, you are afraid of being judged and being rejected and being ridiculed and humiliated. You have this fear. Everybody does. But once you face it, put it in by the fire. And where we started our conversation is keep filling up with acceptance. You're asking your soul, you're asking Creator to fill you with acceptance of your authenticity. And so then you change your reality inside out. You become stronger. Bottom line is you become stronger. Oh. And you become detached from what other people are going to think of you or say about you. That's how it works.
No question about it. And as there was a famous comedian who says, as you get older, you give less of what other people think about you. So like, you've ever seen that 80-year-old guy walking out to pick up the mail in his underwear and shirt in the middle of the morning, and he could care absolutely less of what you think about it. It is as an extreme example, but as you get older, you start to realize, like, you know what, at the end of the day.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
You know, when you're on your deathbed, do you think about what Rose thought about you? Do you think about what Jack was really thinking about you? These are not things that matter. It's all ego. It's all that's kind of perception. So as long as you're being authentic, it becomes so much easier to be authentic, isn't it?
And it's something you can actually ask your soul, which is your own higher self that created. So let me explain that. The soul is energy and it creates the ego. Right? Mm-hmm. So we were created, or we are an individual, that's a hard word to say, an individual expression of our soul. Okay. So when we go back to soul, when the ego goes to soul and says, fill me with my authenticity, reveal to me why I'm here. Right? I help people with this a lot. I look at their ancient astrology and it's always right there, right in your natal chart. Why did you come here? So when we do that, we go to soul with our intention and we say, will you show me who my authentic self is? You know, I didn't have that experience. I don't know if you did. I got drafted by an angel with a trumpet. But that's bottom line. That's what happened. That's what I had to do. Belinda, you think you're a biologist. You think this is what you're going to do. But you know you're miserable because you're not really helping people. You're helping people in a certain way. But you know you crave more. They have me. What can I do? Hold my hands up and go, okay, I surrender. You got me.
It's the universal casting agent. They come in and they go, no. I know you've been playing this part, but your career is not going to go anywhere here. You need to move over here, work with this character and start building it out over here. Mm-hmm. Now, Belinda, I'm going to ask you a few questions to ask all of my guests. What is the definition? What is your definition of living a good life?
Being authentic. Being authentic. Yes.
Being a great answer. What is your mission in this life?
To help. It's I'm going to sound like a broken record. To help those who are ready and willing, because willingness is what it's all about. Yep. To step into that happiness, to be happier truly by opening and receiving that authentic self and moving out of fear.
And what is the ultimate purpose in life?
To choose love, and to bring peace and to remember we haven't been abandoned by Creator. We're here as students. But it's impossible to be a band.
This is a tough university, though, I have to say. It's not
absolutely
easy.
Absolutely. They say it's the toughest.
This is the Harvard.
Yes.
This is the Harvard, without question, of schoolhouses, because my God, this is not an easy place to move through, let's say. And where can people find out more about you and the work that you're doing?
The easiest way is through my website, which is my name, belindawomack.com.
And of course, you can pick up your book on Amazon and wherever books are sold at this point.
Yes.
And last thing, is there a message that you would like, or you or the angels would like to leave our audience with?
Human beings, we hear you. We hear your every thought and every feeling. And so we want to tell you the good news. Schoolroom Earth is going through rapid transformation. Stay in your own movie, in your own theater. Fill it with love and gratitude. Rise above the fear, the drama, the lack. And then from this place, send your love out to the global movie. Send love and hope and prayers for awakening. For the awakening of all to step out of that old male judgment and control and not enough, and old female, I'm the victim, I'm the poor one, I'm guilty, I'm judged, I'm ashamed. Step out of that, human beings, and be your true, authentic selves. So be in your movie, change your reality. And from this place, help all concerned. This is why you came here. Enjoy your service. We are always with you. Always.
Thank you, Belinda. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor speaking to you today. Thank you not only for coming on the show, but for the great work that you're doing in the world and trying to bring more love into it, because God knows we need it. So I appreciate your time, my dear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great fun.
I want to thank Belinda and the Archangels for coming on the show and sharing their wisdom with all of us. If you want to get links to anything we spoke about in this episode, head over to the show notes at nextlevelsoul.com/115. And we had such a fantastic time. Then Belinda and the Archangels have agreed to come back during the Christmas holiday for some amazing conversations then too. So stay tuned for that. And if you've only been listening to this over podcast and you want to watch these amazing conversations, please subscribe to our YouTube channel at nextlevelsoul.com/YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, trust the journey. It is here to teach you. I'll talk to you soon.